Welcome to this Blisscast, and thank you for joining us again this week. Life has a way of testing us. Think back to a time when you were well on your way to fulfilling a goal, and then fate intervened, and you came to a skidding halt. I can think of a few. In my final year of university, when it really counted, my dad had a stroke. In my mid-30s, with two busy adolescent children at home, a full-time job, and parents who lived 2 hours away, I was given the opportunity once again to put my life plans on hold. My aging parents needed help with all the details inherent in the final years of life: cancer treatments, nursing home placement, burials, grieving, and executrix duties became a six-year focus I just hadn't counted on. Again in my mid-40s, when I needed to put all my resources into building a new life after a divorce, my son began battling treatment-resistant depression, where he was suicidal. Notice the pattern? Every decade, I have been given the opportunity to work with this same theme, and I'm refusing to do this again in my 50s. There was a defining moment when my son turned the corner and began his climb back to health. In retrospect, it was also the defining moment for my growth. This moment was actually like a scene out of a Monty Python skit, for any of those who know who Monty Python is. Just as a preamble to let you know, anger is a good sign in a deeply depressed person. It means they are climbing out of the depression and beginning to feel again. During a therapy session, my son became very angry, and he took it out on me. But this was also a good thing, and it's an understandable response during a depression treatment. My son loved me, and he trusted me, and he felt safe letting it rip with me. But that was hard for me to accept in the moment. I was beyond exhausted, and on this one particular day, in the space of 6 hours, I set out on the hour-long drive from the hospital to my home 3 times, and 3 times I was called back. When the phone rang the 3rd time, at the exact same spot on the road, in front of a cheese shop, oddly enough, I have no idea what that symbolizes, I left my body. I saw this tiny, tired, and overwhelmed woman from above, and I just started laughing and I couldn't stop. All of a sudden, life just didn't seem so serious anymore. I know what you're thinking. Poor thing, she had a breakdown. Perhaps. I do know that sometimes we do need a breakdown in order to have a breakthrough. And I was gifted with a new way of seeing in that moment. In that moment, I saw just how incredibly resilient human beings are. Just think back to stories of survival during the Holocaust, if you need confirmation of that. Emanuel Ringelblum, a Jewish historian, collected stories of Polish Jews before and during his time in the Warsaw Ghetto. He realized that those who shed their ideas about who they were and adopted a realistic acceptance of their situation in the present moment had a much better chance of survival. Human beings have it in us to respond to an emergency, and we also have it in us to face what threatens to rob us of our life energy, one cut at a time. Sometimes triage has to be administered. If we find ourselves, or those we love, in an emergency situation, where life and death hangs in the balance, then by all means, our wants, dreams, desires, and goals must take second place. We must get realistic about our life in the moment. However, sometimes a crisis evolves into a chronic situation, and we're not even aware the transition has taken place. We wake up one day and realize we've been applying crisis management to a situation which has become chronic. This is the equivalent of death from 1,000 cuts. The emergency team are tired, and it's time to move this situation to long-term care. This problem is most likely to arise if you are the one who took the leadership role when the crisis began. It's hard to relinquish that position. You have likely become the primary caregiver, and others may not be all that excited about sharing the workload. At this point in time, if you find yourself in this situation, it's helpful to ask a few questions so that you're able to get clarity about your situation. Grab a journal and answer the following. Number 1, Is this really still a crisis, or has this situation become chronic? Number two, why am I still so invested in this situation? Number three, is there another who could take some of this responsibility? Number four, am I doing more than I need to do here? And number five, is there a healthier way to see this situation I find myself in? Take a few days to complete these questions and leave lots of space for your answers. When you get clear on the second question, on the why you are doing what you are doing, answering the next three becomes a lot easier for you. These major life events, which force us to put our plans on hold, are perfect opportunities for growth. There's a quote that hangs in my office wall written by a man named Levine, and that quote is, "Love is the only rational act." When you don't know what to do in your life, choose love. Love is listening to your inner guidance. Sometimes that may mean making a decision that feels right for you, but doesn't feel right for the people around you. When we begin to listen to our hearts and we begin to practice self-love and compassion, we will change. Those around us won't be comfortable with that change because it threatens the status quo. Here's another great quote by a man named Dean Jackson. When she transformed into a butterfly, the caterpillars spoke not of her beauty, but of her weirdness. They wanted her to change back into what she always had been, but she had wings. If you focus on what others want for your life, you allow others to create your life for you. Is that what you want? When we get caught up in the dream of what should be, we lose our ability to act and change what is. Get realistic about your life in the moment. Practice lots of self-care and self-love, and learn to flow with life so you can find your bliss. This life is challenging, so please remember, love is the only rational act, and self-love is the starting point. Please share this Blisscast with anyone in your life who you feel may benefit from the message. Let's all do what we can to birth a more heart-centered collective intelligence and make this world a better place. Join me next week when we'll look at what to do when you wake up one day and wonder, whose life am I living? Thanks so much for tuning in again. I look forward to our chat next week, and bliss you all.